All across this nation, we are closing churches. And there's so many people in this country that need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We ought to be building new churches, not closing them. Amen? So we need to stand for the Word of God. The sermon title today is Start Preaching. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, I won't ask you to turn there, but maybe Jonathan will put it up for us. It says that we walk by faith and not by sight. For it says we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about faith, or maybe 3 weeks ago, and I want to carry that on today. I want us to look at two components of our faith. Number one, our faith walk or our faith action. So number one is either our faith walk or our faith action. And number two is our faith proclamation. If you remember right, Webster Dictionary says that faith is what? It is a complete trust or confidence. Webster Dictionary's definition does not require action, just a belief in. But if you remember, this is not the biblical definition of faith. The biblical definition of faith requires action. James chapter 2, in James chapter 2, it is brought out three times that faith without works is what? It is dead. So turn with me to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, we go down to verse 14 to start off with. So James 2 and verse 14. James chapter 2. Verse 14 says this, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" Now we know that we are saved by our faith and not by our works. You guys all know that. Because our works or our righteousness is filthy rags. You can't earn your salvation. You can't buy your salvation. Church membership doesn't get it. Baptism in water doesn't get you saved. But it's our faith proclamation in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we are saved by our faith and not by our works, but our works show our salvation. So when it says here, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? And then we go down in verse 17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is what? It is dead. When we look at verse 19, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is what? It is dead. And then verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. How many people today that make the statement that they are a Christian today are relying on dead faith and do not realize it? Earlier I said I wanted us to look at two components of our faith. Number one, our faith walk, and number two, our faith proclamation. Do these two components line up in your life? Does your walk line up with who you say that you are or who you proclaim to be? In simple terms, does your walk line up with your talk or your talk with your walk, because your walk will talk louder than your talk. Your walk will talk louder than your talk. So what you're living, how you're living on a daily basis, people looking in at your life, that's your witness, that's your testimony. In your life, that you're a Christian because of that walk of faith and everything that you say, everything that you do, everything that you want to do, and everything that you want to accomplish is in the Word of God. It's situated in the Word of God. It's based on the Word of God. I could give you a picture of being faithful. In all areas, all the areas you should be faithful in. I could say Bible study. I could say Bible devotions. I could say church attendance. The list could go on forever, couldn't it? Or I could just simply say, in all areas of your life, your faith proclamation needs to line up with your faith walk. I'll say that again. Your faith proclamation needs to line up with your faith walk. Saint of God, are you who you say that you are? Now turn with me to Luke chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, we look at verse 39. Luke chapter 2, verse 39. And this is about Jesus as he was a young man. You'll recognize the story as we get a little further into it. But Luke chapter 2, verse 39. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew, who was Jesus, and became strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Did Jesus' walk line up with his talk? And the answer is, most certainly his walk lined up with his talk. Jesus was proclaiming and doing. He was proclaiming the word of God and acting upon it. Now look at Luke chapter 3 and verse 2. We're going to talk about John the Baptist. So Luke chapter 3 verse 2. It says, "And while Ananias and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness." So John the Baptist. "And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.'" Now the question is, John the Baptist was proclaiming and doing what? And doing and acting upon his faith. Church, do you today proclaim the word of God in your life? In temptation, do you proclaim the word of God when you are tempted? In your prayer life, do you proclaim the word of God in your prayers? In sickness, when you are sick, are you proclaiming the word of God? That God, you are my healer. God, you are my deliverer. God, heal me in the name of Jesus. I stand on your word today. Are you proclaiming God's word in your prayer life? When you're facing adversity in your life, are you proclaiming the word of God? When facing a spiritual attack in your life, are you proclaiming the word of God? Well, Ephesians 6:12 says, "We do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Are you proclaiming the word of God when you're facing a spiritual attack from another individual? Not thinking that I'm wrestling with flesh and blood with this person, but the real problem is a spiritual attack that is coming from above. Do I proclaim the word of God in that situation? That God, I stand on your word. I believe in you. I trust in you today. No matter what I'm facing, the adversity, the temptation that I'm facing, I'm proclaiming the word of God. Then looking for faith in the Webster Dictionary is not going to take care of it, because it only says that you have to believe. But biblical faith will proclaiming and acting upon God's word. How did Jesus defeat the adversary in the wilderness? He defeated him how? By God's word. By the word of God. By what of the word of God? By proclaiming it. Because it says, it is written, he said over and over to the adversary. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. I wasn't going to go there. I didn't give Jonathan the scripture, but we'll go there just for a moment today. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4. Satan tempts Jesus is what the heading of my Bible says on this portion of scripture. And it says, "Then Jesus was led up," verse 1, by the spirit of the wilderness and to be tempted by the devil. So we're in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 4. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. You see where Satan attacks the adversary when he's weak? When you look at that scripture, he says, and when he, in verse 2, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. So he was in a weakened condition. Saints, when you get yourself in a weakened condition, you're more open to the attacks of the adversary. Do you realize that? If you're going without food, you're going to be more open to the attacks of the adversary. If you get tired and you're wore out, and all of you're spiritually down, and you're emotionally down, you're more open to the attacks of the adversary. So recognize those things in your life. When he goes, he says in verse 3, now when the tempter came to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And he answered and said, it is what written? You hear Jesus proclaiming the word of God when he felt the attack of the adversary. It is written. You yourself can say, I am a child of God. I am not only heir of God, I'm a joint heir with Jesus because of my relationship that I have with Jesus, with my heavenly Father. Satan, you need to be gone from my life. It is written. It is written. And because you're saying it is written, you're proclaiming God's truth, God's word throughout your life. And you know what? The adversary just cannot stand that. Many times over, he says, verse 4, but he answered and said, excuse me, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Verse 7, Jesus said to him, it is written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So we see over and over, he's saying it is written. He's proclaiming God's word. You need to proclaim the word of God into that situation. And what is it that you're going to proclaim? I think this is important. What is it that you're going to proclaim? Number one, that the word of God is true. And number two, the word of God is true for me. The word of God is true, and the word of God is true for me. Because of your relationship that you have with Jesus. When you're praying through that relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father through Jesus. So it is true and it is for me. As a born-again believer, you are a joint heir with Christ. The Word of God is for you. It is mine. I can believe it. I can proclaim it. I can walk in it. Last week, Lloyd referred to a scripture, and he referred to David and Goliath. And I want us to go there for a short time today. So turn back with me to the Old Testament in 1 Samuel and chapter 17. 1 Samuel and chapter 17. Now, we're going to read the whole story. Someday we will, and you've probably heard it many, many times before. But in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we know that David is going to show up at the battle. We know that Saul and all the Israelite people are up on the hillside quivering in their boots because Goliath is bigger than any of them. And they are scared to death of this individual that's going to kill all of them. David walks up there, and we're going to hear what David's response was when he gets there. So in verse 26 of 1 Samuel 17, he says, then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Do you speak that way to Satan? Who do you think you are to defy a child of God? Because the word says to me that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and you're the little he that's in the world. And I proclaim your goodness, Father. I proclaim your truth into this situation. So we see that David makes this proclamation of his faith. We go on to verse 36. We'll go a little further. Of course, they're going to give him all this armament. They don't think he can do it because he's just a young boy. But in verse 36, he says, your servant, me, has killed both the lion and the bear, And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied, once again, he defied the armies of God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Probably thinking he'd never see him again. Now we go over a little further in the story to verse 42. In verse 42, so now we're going to see Goliath's response. He says, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy, good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods with a little g. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I will take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses to the camp of the Philistines, to the birds of the air, and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God of Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with a sword, with a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Hallelujah. You have the authority. He does not have the authority over you, but you have the authority over him. Did David proclaim the word of God? Did he act upon it? And the answer is absolutely yes, he did. Saying you need to start preaching when you're praying. I remember when we were in the lodge, we drove by the other day. I wish I could just take you all up in there, walk in the lodge for 30 seconds and say, this musty old place is so dreary and so drab, and we used to have church here, and then take you from there and put you right back in here and say, praise God what you have done. This is amazing what you have done. We praise you forevermore. But I remember a time when we were going through years that we were there, because we were there for almost 5 years, if I remember right. And every year I would do the accounting, and then I would give the numbers for the year. We averaged this year 35. This year we averaged 35 for attendance. The next year we averaged 35 for attendance. The next year we averaged 35 for attendance. And I remember in my prayer, I said, Lord, this is not going. This is not happening here. I don't see this work going forward. I don't see your glory. I don't see that we're growing. I don't see anything happening here. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. He says, keep on preaching. Keep on preaching. Hallelujah. You say, well, that may be true for you, but I'm not a preacher. The word preach means to proclaim. And I believe the Spirit is saying today to the church of Crossroads Gospel Church, to the saints of this church, you need to keep proclaiming the Word of God in your life. Hallelujah. Proclaim God's Word into whatever situation that you are facing. Pastor Carol, would you dismiss us in prayer today?
And we thank you, O Father God, for providing for us a wonderful place to worship and to seek you. And Father, we desire more of you in our life, Father. Permeate our hearts and let you bubble up within us so much that we will indeed proclaim your word. We will share it with others. We thank you, O Father God, for what you are doing on our behalf, Father. Even as we speak, and for those that we have prayed for, we thank you for what you're doing in their lives. Father, we ask that you go with us, be with us, and go before us every moment of this coming week until we are together again. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.